I call this meeting of the Legacy Finance Committee to order, and we have not yet have quorum, so, but it's okay. It's an informational hearing today. So the first order of business is we'll hear House File 1721, Representative Fiber, regarding Sweet Potato Comfort Pie Organization. So there's no motions being made. We have about 13 bills on the agenda, so we have very tight schedule today. We have allocated about 8 minutes for each bill, 4 minutes for testimony, 4 minutes for questions. I would like to ask members to keep their remarks and testifiers' remarks concise. And if we do have more time, we can have members ask more questions. But for now, I'll have members limit their questions and remarks to one question and a follow-up. We'll also be hearing each bill informationally, so no motions will be made. And please be respectful of everyone's time, so everyone has a chance to present. And so with that, Representative Fiber, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I know time is extremely limited, so I will keep my remarks exceptionally short so that my testifiers can have the time. So Sweet Potato Comfort Pie is an important organization in my community that puts on a remarkable event every year for Martin Luther King Day. I've attended the event for several years, and every year it's grown and drawn more people from around the state and truly brings people from various backgrounds together to find common purpose. So with that, with me to testify is Rose McGee and Nyla Hebert. I believe they even brought a sample for committee members. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. We love treats in here. Please introduce your name for the record and proceed.
Good morning, Madam Co-Chair. I am Rose McGee, founder and director of Sweet Potato Comfort Pie. I want to thank you and the committee for seriously considering our bill. Sweet Potato Comfort Pie may sound a little frivolous, but it is in fact very serious. And because it is pie, and we can all relate to it, I did want to have it here for you to actually see, and I hope you can smell it. But I'm going to leave enough samples here for you to share whenever you get a chance. There's enough for everybody. I want to emphasize we're more than just a good tasting pie, though. We're a strong community resource that promotes leadership and team building. And we do it creatively by bringing this food into the mix as the catalyst. The legacy of Sweet Potato Comfort Pie began in 2014. And as our work has evolved and grown, it has been very impactful. And I have to say that it's because of the impact that we're here today asking you to support our bill, because honestly, I did not step into life thinking that this is what I was going to do. I don't even like cooking, let alone now running an organization that's guiding people through the love of food as we are now doing. But since our inception, over 5,000 pies have been made and gifted, not sold, and we have over 250 volunteers supporting our efforts. And this incredible reach is the reason why the Sweet Potato Comfort Pie story was chosen as one of 50 in the world by the Japanese press. And I could go on and on about it, but I'm going to ask my lovely colleague and the chair of our board, Ms. Nyla Hebert, to take it from here.
Queen Rose, thank you. Hello, Chair Vang and committee members. My name is Nyla Hebert. I have the immense pleasure of serving as the board chair for Sweet Potato Comfort Pie. The legacy of this organization is rich and sweet, and sustaining the efforts of Sweet Potato Comfort Pie across our region ensures that Minnesota can continue to be the leader in resourcing and spotlighting the importance of thriving and resilient communities, and that together we can create the Minnesota we all want to see. Today, I'm here to encourage and invite each of you to support House File 1721 for all of the members of our community, including each of you at this table today. It's so important that we have a community resource that benefits our cultural awareness and social connectedness. I became acquainted with Sweet Potato Comfort Pie in 2019 when serving on an education task force with Ms. McGee. Since 2019, I've seen Ms. McGee create engagement opportunities that move at the speed of our community. And it all started with a voice telling her to not stand by, but to do something. Rooted in service, volunteerism, and community care, from the beginning, she organized over 100 volunteers for the first annual Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day of Service. This past January, we hosted over 500 people. And with the energy and enthusiasm we witnessed, it will continue to be a place that people from all over Minnesota come to celebrate the MLK holiday. Another key project of Sweet Potato Comfort Pie is the play, Kumbaya, the Juneteenth story. The impact of this play has been wide and deep. And fun fact for those of you that may be listening but not really paying attention is that one of the leading actors across the first several years was high school student Melvin Carter, who is now mayor of St. Paul. He's just one of many noteworthy shout-outs, and there will be more. We know we can reach more if we can teach more. It's important to expand these culturally informative experiences across Minnesota. What we do at Sweet Potato Comfort Pie is critical to bringing communities together. So thank you, co-chairs and members of this committee, for believing in community and the power of the arts.
Thank you, Nyla and Rose, for coming here today and for all the work that you're doing. Questions from the committee? See none? All right. Closing remarks, Representative Fiber?
Thank you for your consideration, Co-Chair Vang, Co-Chair McDonald, members of the committee. Really appreciate the time you've given. This is a really important community resource in my community, and appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you, Representative Fiber.
We'll leave the pies maybe over there.
Yes. please pass it on to our pages here, and they can pass it out to our members. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, next we have is Representative Cardi, House File 975, the Heroes and Heritage Interpretive Trail Loop Funding. And we have Commissioner Joe Atkins with us today. So Representative Cardi, to your bill.
Thank you. I'm very excited that we're here today. I understand the time frame, so I just want to say that this is a great opportunity for our community to get involved and recognized. And Chair, I'd like to turn it over to my testifier.
Commissioner Atkins, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you. My name is Joe Atkins. I'm on the Dakota County Board of Commissioners. Chair Vang, Chair McDonald, members, it's nice to be. I feel like I'm coming home when I come back to the House after serving 14 years here. Very much appreciate you hearing this bill. We have an ability to keep our stories, our histories, our heritage alive in Dakota County, and you can help with that. From indigenous villages to Hmong farmers who forged their own version of the American dream in Dakota County, to four firefighters who braved terrible conditions, lost their lives to save hundreds of folks in the Bellows Court apartment fire, to the first all-female firefighter crew in Dakota County history, to Marguerite Newberg, who was the very first woman to cast a vote anywhere in America following passage of the 19th Amendment in 1920, to Stan Koska, who was the son of refugees, went on to become a star running back for the Gophers and caused the NFL draft. There's just so many stories to tell. You can either tell people to go to the museum or invite them to the museum, or you can take the museum to where the people are. That's what we hope to do with your support. I want to say thank you to Commissioner, I'm sorry, I just demoted you, to Representative Clardy as well as Representative Witte for providing bipartisan support and authoring this legislation for us. What it does is it takes a 23-mile existing trail, we're not building a new trail, and creates 23 nodes along that trail. It's a beautiful trail that runs along Mississippi River and through wooded areas, and it brings history to life. Picture today, but if you were on a bicycle or walking with your family or your loved ones, your friends, you'd have an opportunity to stop and read the stories, hear the stories, touch and feel the stories, because they're also in Braille and other languages. Those sorts of stories that I shared with you to keep that history alive and make sure that the next generations know what was so meaningful to our Hmong farmers, our indigenous people, our refugees, our immigrants, our sports heroes, our local firefighters, and all sorts of great stories that we'd like to keep alive. The ask is for $318,000. It enables us to do that. We've got skin in the game. We've already done the planning. We've got the report from a group called the 106 Group. We're project ready, and we're all set to go. And I want to note particularly the accessibility of the whether in Braille or in other languages, touching, being able to hear the signs that are posted along the way. But this interpretive trail loop will keep our history alive in Dakota County, and we'd appreciate your support for it.
And thank you,
that,
Commissioner.
I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any questions from the committee? Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Along with many of these proposals come plans for maintenance after there may be a appropriation from these accounts for the trail. You have any details on that plan, and is the community prepared to cover those costs?
Commissioner Atkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Heitzman. That's how we roll. We're prepared to take that on. They're along existing trails that we already take care of. We would expect to maintain them. I should note, by the way, this would be a grant to the Dakota County Historical Society, so it's not, you know, some other entity or anything like that. But they're great at maintenance. They're great at doing the job, and we're great at helping them at the county. Thank you for the question.
Representative Heitzman.
Nothing further.
Co-Chair McDonald.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Atkins, good to see you.
You too.
Always enjoyed working with you on the House floor and committees, so it's good to have you back. Doesn't look like you've aged a bit.
That's because I was old to begin with, Madam Chair.
Very good. Question for you, Commissioner Atkins, and then also Chair Vang. Have you also applied for a grant from the Minnesota Historical Society or the Dakota County Historical Society through the Minnesota Historical Society?
Commissioner Atkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the question. We have, so we're carved out as part of the Minnesota Historical Society grant in the Senate file. There was I believe it's a $5.055 million grant to the Minnesota Historical Society for competitive grants. This would be a carve out to the Dakota County Historical Society as part of that. We've been successful in other competitive grants with the Historical Society. As far as the Dakota County Historical Society itself having the funds,
yes.
We just don't, and that's why we're here, is to seek your support to help make this project move forward.
Co-Chair McDonald.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Atkins. And Chair Vang, out of this pool of money, do you see this coming from perhaps the Parks and Trails silo or the Arts and Culture through the Minnesota Historical Society?
Co-Chair McDonald, I believe the funding is, in the bill language, is coming from the Arts and Culture Heritage Fund. Co-Chair McDonald.
Madam Chair, that was my understanding, too. I just wanted to have that clarified. No further questions for me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Seeing no further questions, closing remarks, Representative Hardy.
Thank you so much. The accessibility to our parks is so important, and this bill encompasses that. So I appreciate your consideration.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next we have is Representative Perez Vega, House File 116. And while we have a quorum, we will move the minutes. Let me see. Representative Heitzman, would have you review the minutes? Would you, or can you make the motion?
Madam Chair, I have reviewed the minutes, and I would move them.
All right. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the approval of the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say nay. The motion prevails, and the minutes are approved. To the bill, Representative Perez Vega.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Buenos dias. I'd like to move House File 116, a bill relating to legacy appropriating money to expand arts programming that celebrates our great Latino culture in Minnesota. Representative Perez Vega of District 65B, the first Latino cultural district here in the state of Minnesota that I am proud to be from and represent, is asking for $250,000 in both fiscal years of 2026 and 2027 from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund to expand programming that, like I said, celebrates our great Latino heritage here in Minnesota. Arts and culture are powerful tools for community engagement, identity expression, and economic growth, and this investment ensures that Latino artists have the resources they need to thrive. Why this bill matters, Madam Chair, members of the committee, it supports local Latino artists, providing funding for workshops, networking opportunities, and professional development to help Latino artists build sustainable careers. It also expands arts programming, strengthens cultural representation, and invests in economic growth. The impact on community, the Latino artists will have access to critical resources that enhance their practice and visibility. Community members will benefit from increased opportunities to engage with Latino arts and culture through murals, performance, educational workshops, strengthening our Minnesota's commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion in the arts. I'd now like to pass over the mic to Executive Director of Neomuralismo, who can introduce himself. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Good morning and buenos dias, chairs and members of the committee, and thank you to Representative Perez Vega for your amazing advocacy of Latino arts and culture in the state of Minnesota. My name is Aaron Johnson Ortiz. Aaron, I also go by that name, and we also use the DBA, Doing Business As, of Minnesota Latino Museum in the state of Minnesota, and we are working to develop the first Latino museum in the state, and that's actually in Perez Vega's wonderful district. I'm going to go over some of the work that we do and then talk forward about what we're planning to do in the next two fiscal years. We do work around the state, although we are based in St. Paul. We have some images here, which I'll go through pretty quickly. Worthington, Minnesota, paper crafts in 2023. We did this wonderful parade in Northfield in September of 2023. And in Austin, Minnesota, we inaugurated this mural by Flor Soto. The mayor of Austin called it the most beautiful mural he'd ever seen. We were very excited about that. We do Duluth. This is a culture exchange program with an artist from Mexico City. From Southern Mexico, and two Latino artists based in Duluth. In Red Wing, we've done weaving, paper crafts, and I always like to highlight the work that we did in 2022 in this wonderful building in the state capitol. We did the first Day of the Dead altar in the Minnesota state capitol. Governor Waltz issued a state proclamation. You can see it on the following page, recognizing Day of the Dead for the first time in Minnesota, and as it turned out, for the first time in the United States. So we're very proud of this work. Last fall, we had an event at the Mall of America, also for Day of the Dead. We had 60,000 visitors and viewers, 7,000 workshop participants, and earned media and social media was around 200,000. So it was highly impactful public arts and community arts event. We work with children, with families, and of course with wonderful, amazing artists. Moving forward, this fall, June through October of this year, we're holding our largest exhibit ever at Raspberry Island on the Mississippi River. Thank you. And it's these giant alebrijes. There are these wonderful, fantastical papier-mâché creatures. The exhibit comes from Chicago. When it happened in Chicago, there was over 100 earned media stories. That's unheard of. The Governor Pritzker issued an announcement at the exhibit because he was so impressed by it. The exhibit generated $5.6 million in direct sales and $9.5 million to the economy. We're very excited about doing that work this summer and fall in St. Paul, Minnesota. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for your testimony. Questions from the committee? Representative Heitzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I apologize. Things were kind of busy this morning, and I didn't have a chance to be here as the committee opened this morning. I'm just kind of curious, as we're looking at the bills before us today, projects like this one, I think these are things that generally people do support. I am, though, wondering, after having many years on the Legacy Committee, what the funding mechanisms are compared to the traditional process that these projects are following, in many cases, through the Arts and Cultural Heritage Account. And if you could explain that for the members' benefit and maybe the public also.
Thank you, Representative Heitzman. I'm not sure if I'm the best to answer this, since I've only been a member of this committee for only one last biennium. And so I guess the traditional process has always been what I think of so far is within the Arts and Culture Fund, there is no council that does a review or recommendations like the other funds that we talked about in Parks and Trails and others. So folks, there are agencies within the Arts and Culture Fund like the State Arts Board, the Humanity Center, the Historical Society. So organizations can go through those agencies for grants, because we also do give them funding to give grants to other organizations. Other organizations that we've seen over the years have also come directly to us when it's appropriate for direct appropriations to as well. So that is how I've understand as the process for the Arts and Culture Fund. Representative Heitzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick follow-up. I appreciate that sort of a roadmap for the committee. I think generally We do like the grant process and the guardrails that are there. This is certainly a completely appropriate way to go through and to attempt to build support for projects. I would just point out that sometimes going through as quickly as we are, and we saw in the Senate just a few days ago, project by project, and not maybe having as thorough a process, we're going to have to do as members our due diligence to confirm that dollars are being appropriated at the highest and best use. And just wanted to put that on the record. Thank you, Madam Chair, for the opportunity.
Co-Chair McDonald.
Representative Perez-Vegas, first and foremost, I, as an artist, photographer, the medium of photography, the art with the Mexican and Latino culture has always been, for many years, decades, very creative, very inspirational, and just pleasing and entertaining. Looking through the work here, just it is spectacular, always has been. They have a gift from God that is, I'm not jealous, I'm just happy for them. So secondly, there was, as a chair, I got a chance to visit with a lot of folks throughout the last couple of months, and another group was called Clues, and really good people doing good work as well. You and I talked about that. Just curious, is this similar to that? Is it tied in? Is it cousins? Or just a little curious on that.
Representative Perez-Vegas.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Co-Chair McDonald. I want to say that all the Latino webs of artistry in the state of Minnesota come from specifically the ground roots of the Westside Flats community, a community that was the first Latino community in my district where these Alebrijes exhibits is going to be exhibited. And I mentioned the history component of that specifically because we think about the geographic location, the history of the Westside Flats that displaced over 2,100 families, majority of them being Latino and African American, and the impact of the history created the community of artists. I am, everybody kind of knows here, and if you don't know, now you know, a Latina artist that comes from this community that connected with other Latino artists through curriculums and education that were built up from the history of that. Clues, organized over three decades ago, is a social service nonprofit organization, the largest serving Latinos. In the mid-2000s, the curation of art development came from the direction of executive director of Neomuralismo, Aaron Johnson Ortiz, who's to my left. We have a commitment of supporting arts and angles and opportunities for partnership throughout the entire state. And so when I think about the artists that come through the opportunities that have been granted through those social services like childcare murals or age-welling service projects that we can do paper mache, those are the stems of community. Now this is the root of creating the plant of continuance to not just be in avenues of social services. This is an avenue of connecting where you want to see the cherry on the spoon and the walker. You can see the Alebrijes and the Minnesota Latino history from Red Wing to Worthington. So what is the difference? Is that your question? There is no difference when we're talking about celebrating Latino arts. However, there is a difference when you talk about artists and leadership for the arts project. And that's what we're seeing here is this is a full 100% dedication to culture and arts, not any other services aside.
All right. Final follow-up, Co-Chair McDonald?
No, thank you.
All right. Further questions? Seeing none, closing remarks, Representative Perez-Vega?
Yeah, just, let's get HF 116 and a meaningful investment that will contribute to Minnesota's Latino community, but to all Minnesotans to experience the vibrant art that our co-chair just said is amazing and God-pleasing. I urge my colleagues to support this bill and affirm our commitment to cultura, heritage, artistic expression, and who knows who next may be a Latino artist that runs for office. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Next we have is Representative Jay Xiong for House File 1640, SGU. While he makes his way to the table, I would like to recognize our SGU veterans here. If these are SGU Special Guerrilla Units veterans who've served in the Vietnam during the Secret War. And so thank you so much for serving. So thank you so much for being here today to present the bill. And With that, to your bill, Representative Xiong.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For those of you who serve on the Veterans Committee, we also heard from many of our veterans this morning in the Veteran Military Affairs Committee. And so this bill will provide critical funding to SGU to preserve the oral history among veterans who fought alongside U.S. forces during the Secret War and Laos made tremendous sacrifices, yet their stories remain largely untold and at the risk of being lost. These brave men and their families endured immense hardship and service to a cause that shaped the course of history, both in Southeast Asia and right here in Minnesota, home to one of the largest Hmong communities in the nation. House File 1640 ensures that their voices and lived experiences and are preserved for future generations. Through this funding, the SGU folks will document and safeguard these oral history, honoring the legacy of Hmong veterans and educating Minnesotans about their contributions. This is not just an investment in history, it is an investment in truth, in recognition, and in the cultural fabric of our state. And with me this morning, I have two testifiers who will share more. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, I have Megan Lee and Yua Ying Va. So please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you for Chairman and the House Committee. My name is Zhuo Ying Wang. I was born in 1949 in Laos. I became a soldier at 13 years old. And 1971, I was transferred to be for American people, work for American people. My title was cross support radio operator. My job was to record a conversation by the enemy, the Vietnamese, and recording what transfer or translate into English, so that the American people was know that the Vietnamese move was or also that we can locate it. Our pilot that was shot down by the enemy. We need to know and locate it and help the pilot. If they shot up, we know if they've been action or they've been killed or what happened to. So the next day, we can go and look at it. So this funding is not supposed to be today. Today is really late. Should done about 40, 50 years ago. Why do we do it today? And I feel that it's the people like me or older. Most, I feel that it's about 60, 70% they're gone. Only a few people here. So this funding is really important for the history due to the, again, of the our older and other like me, myself. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And Megan Lee?
Yeah, hi. Pardon me. Today, due to the weather, I had a rush here, so I'm still catching my breath too. But thank you so much to the committee, and thank you so much for this opportunity. My name is Megan Lee, and I am a board member for this nonprofit organization, SGU Veterans and Family of USA, here in Minnesota. First of all, we would like to thank the committee and your continuous support towards our organization. Our organization was able to orally document 73 stories of our veterans and their widows' stories with past grants. Today, we are asking your committee to support our bill, SF-1576. Our mission is to collect, document, archive, and preserve the oral histories of the last surviving members of the Hmong Minnesota veterans who were the CIA's secret army in the U.S.-sponsored secret war in Laos, which was part of the Vietnam War. During the secret war from 1961 to 1975, the CIA recruited, trained, and financed about 40,000 Hmong soldiers at its peak to collect and defend the U.S. foreign military interests inside Laos. As a result, about 35,000 Hmong soldiers were killed in fulfilling this mission. When the secret war concluded in 1975, about 20,000 of these CIA-backed Hmong soldiers escaped into Thailand. Of the 20,000 soldiers, between 5,000 and 7,000, these veterans and their family immigrated to our great state of Minnesota. Majority of these soldiers came with little or no educational background. This results in less than 3% of their stories being recorded or documented for historical, educational, and humanitarian purpose. Today, here in Minnesota, in the state, there are about 400 of these Hmong veterans from the secret war who are still living. We are racing against time as these remaining veterans are aging, facing health issues, and memory loss. To preserve the preservation of these stories are important to me, to our community, and to our state, because they serve as human experiences
learning. If you can conclude your sentence, please. Thank you.
Sorry about that. We just hope that the committee will endure the value of preserving these veteran stories and fully support this bill. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Sorry about that. We are limited time. So if testimonies could be very concise. Members from the committee? Representative Heinzman. Representative Cha.
Thank you, Representative Sean, for bringing this forward. I just want to give you a short context about this, is that my in-law, who was a colonel in the war, was a photographer in that war, and he had hidden the film in his belt for about 20-something years before he got to America to develop the films, right? And the reason he did that is because if he was caught with the film in Laos during that time, he would have been persecuted, right? And so there was a lot of documentation that did not make it to America. And so the preservation of these documentation is very important for the oral history of Hmongs in Minnesota. So thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want to thank all the veterans that are here for what you did, not knowing anything what was next and where you are now. Thank you very much. And wherever we can help, I'd like to help. Thank you.
All right. Co-Chair McDonald.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Vang. Question for Representative Jean. The NPR also has many programs that tell the history of our veterans, and we have a great gratitude to the veterans that are here today, and thank you. Have they reached out to you at all in either this session or in past, with funding that they've received over the many years to do a story, or why has it taken so long?
Representative Sean?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I apologize. That will be a question that I will refer to the organization, but they have not reached out to me as bill author of this bill.
Co-Chair McDonald?
Very good. Thank you, Representative Sean. Just to, for the committee, I think most are aware that many of the veterans, many of the great programs they do on radio and television or through video of telling the stories, they've been doing a great job for many years. So I think that's something to consider. If this funding somehow doesn't appropriate the full amount or doesn't make it or whatever, is to seek out those folks and let them know that you have a story to tell, because there are some funding there already for that story to be told.
All right. Seeing no further questions, closing remarks, Representative Sean.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as you heard from my testifier just a few moments ago, he was 13 years old. That's a story that needs to be told. Imagine your 13-year-old being recruited by America to go fight in a war. These are stories that are untold, and this funding is very crucial in telling our story here in Minnesota. So I urge support for this bill. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And with that, Representative Zhang, you can remain in there. Next, we have House File 1899, Macy from United Hmong Family.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this bill is a bill to support United Hmong Family, to support dance and cultural programming. The Hmong community in Minnesota has a rich cultural heritage deeply rooted in tradition, storytelling, artistic expression. Dance is not just a performance, it is a way to preserve history, pass down generational knowledge, and strengthen community identity. Through this funding, United Hmong Family will be able to expand programs to teach traditional Hmong dance, music, and cultural arts, ensuring that younger generations remain connected to their heritage. This morning, I have a testifier who will speak more on this bill.
All right, Macy, please introduce your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, members of the committee, for the opportunity to testify today. We appreciate Rep. Jay Shong for his continuous support in introducing this bill for a great event held in St. Paul. I'm Macy, the program manager for the United Hmong Family, who hosts two unique events in the city of St. Paul, the state of Minnesota, and for the nation. The Hmong community first arrived in Minnesota in the late 1970s. Since then, we've become doctors, lawyers, public servants, and even Olympic gold medalists. As we adapt to the American lifestyle, we notice how the community started to lose its identity of what it's meant to be Hmong American. This is evident in that many Hmong children cannot speak or write in Hmong, understand Hmong cultural tradition, and Hmong arts. The United Hmong Family became an official nonprofit in 2017 and tackles this issue by continuing to host the Hmong New Year that's been held in Minnesota for 44 years. We don't have an official holiday except for the Hmong New Year, where we come together to celebrate the end of the harvest season and honor our ancestors with music and dance. We believe that hosting the Hmong New Year provides children an opportunity to learn about the Hmong culture and Hmong roots. Most specifically, UHF hosts an annual dance competition. Now, this dance competition is unique to the Hmong community and encourages Hmong arts in the form of dance, clothing, and storytelling of the Hmong history. As our event grows, continues to grow, we are requesting $350,000 from the legacy budget to assist with funding for the Minnesota Hmong New Year to grow the competition and offer additional programs for our annual cultural celebration. With the expansion of our programs, we sold out 106 vendor spots, had 49 dance groups, and welcomed over 31,000 attendees into the St. Paul River Center in just 2 days. As you can see, the Hmong New Year has grown to be part of Minnesota's history. Although we are asking for support for the legislator or from the legislator, I want to share with you that we also have support from our community with a strong interest in preserving and celebrating the Hmong culture with great cultural significance and hope to receive support from local corporations that have demonstrated a long-term commitment to the cultural needs of the community who supports our goal of celebrating Hmong culture. Thank you for the opportunity to allow me to testify today. I respectfully request the committee's support for including this request in the omnibus bill.
All right, thank you. Questions from the committee? Seeing none, closing remarks. Representative Shaw.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Investing in cultural program is an investment in the future of Minnesota. It fosters our understanding, builds bridges across communities, and ensures that diverse voices that make up our state continue to be celebrated. House File 1899 aligns with that goal of the legacy funding by preserving and promoting cultural arts. I hope that the committee will support House File 1899 to help sustain these important traditions for generations to come. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, thank you, Representative Shaw. Thank you to all the testifiers here today for coming here to the Capitol and your testimony. And next we have Representative Lilly regarding House File 2085. I don't believe you have a testifier. So to your bill, Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Chair McDonald, and members. So this really is a really interesting concept. It's a new idea that Senator Fung Herc has kind of spearheaded and came up with. And at first I was like, what? I didn't really understand it. But it's what it is to it's a bill to, or an effort to encourage relationships with other countries as they come to visit Minnesota. And so it's not necessarily like a sister city program, but it kind of piggybacks off that concept, and it tries to reach out to groups that have been left on the sidelines. So, I mean, it's quite common that a group from bigger countries, say China, may come and visit and have a relationship with like the city of St. Paul. But this is an effort to reach beyond that and to get some groups that necessarily don't have a homeland, and then to offer grants as they visit Minnesota. So it's up to the idea is to have a. I'm sorry, the numbers are a little blank there. So it's a concept that's being developed, and but it's hoping to have $50,000 to $100,000 going towards grants that would be about $2,000 per person. Now this would not go to individuals that would come to Minnesota. This would go to they'd have to be a group of at least three people. So it couldn't be just like someone coming to visit your family or something. I mean, this has to be a legitimate outreach effort to come visit Minnesota. A couple years ago, we had a good example is in the Scandinavian area. There's a minority population of nomadic tribes that raise, of all things, it's interesting, reindeer. And the Samis, I believe it's called, the group. And so what this group, one person came to Minnesota, but the intent would be if there's a bigger group, to have it to facilitate it so they could visit Minnesota and share their story. So they're very nomadic. I mean, they go in northern Scandinavia, Norway, Sweden, Finland. You know, it's just one example. So these tribes and groups exist all over the world. So there are Mono in Africa, maybe with the Somali might be an example, or even some of our Hmong neighbors. Quite honestly, you know, as people know better than I do, but we're, you know, not allowed and didn't really have a homeland. So that's trying to reach out to different people that would and have this opportunity. And it's kind of neat. I mean, we could kind of go through tourism maybe, but this is a nice place to start. So the idea is to do grants. I'm sorry. But at first I was like, this is – but I got really excited about it, to be honest. It's actually – and Senator Funghur is kind of leading it and – I hope this committee considers it and favorably. So,
all right, questions from the committee. Representative Hiltzley.
Thank you so much, Chair Vang, for the opportunity. And Representative Lilly, this is exciting opportunity because as a representative that represents the most diverse district in the whole entire state of Minnesota with, you know, different demographics, mainly largely the African continent, it would be awesome to create that space where we have opportunities for collaboration and sharing of cultures, because I think that has definitely played a key role in the fabric of this country and then specifically for this state. So thank you so much, and I look forward to supporting this bill and then also supporting working with you and Senator for to see how we can make this happen. Thank you.
Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Chair Vang. So conceptually, the idea is to set aside some dollars and give it to an organization, and that's what I get what you want to do. I think it's a great idea because instead of giving a grant for $2,000 to, I'm going to use my native country, the Slovenians, when they come over here to sing, they show up in St. Paul and they're like, well, we want to help. We want to go to the Catholic Church and sing. And this group could be welcoming, saying, hey, you know, here's a $2,000 check to help your flight or whatever you when you're here. It's not a lot, but it's like, welcome. Is that what you're looking at? Or help me visualize that. Sorry. Thank you.
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. It's a great question, and it is a forming idea, but it's – so it would go – I believe the money was set up to go through admin is kind of the concept. And so groups, if you knew of a group, they would apply and then have it go towards, you know, expenses either here or travel or something to – but it has to be at least – you know, it's not just, you know, somebody's cousin coming to visit. It has to be kind of a group and intentional and thought up. But it's going to be vetted through, you know, I mean, and checked out to make sure it's kind of a legitimate, you know, idea. So, I mean, it's, I don't know.
Yeah. Final follow-up, Representative Scraba? Co-Chair McDonald?
Thank you, Vice Chair, or Chair Vang. Vice Chair Scraba. Yeah, pay attention, would you, when I'm talking?
Do you still want to follow up, or? Oh, okay. All right.
All right.
You Slovaks, I tell you.
Co-chair McDonald.
Thank you, Chair. Slovenian. So you mentioned $2,000 for singing, the Slovak singing. I'd like to see that. I'd up that to about $2,100 if you, example, do a little dance for us and song that you suggest.
All right. Any discussion? Seeing none, closing remarks, Representative Lilly?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Thank you for hearing this. It's a, you know, it's a concept and it's, you know, being developed. And I, again, Senator, her, you know, the chair of the Legacy Committee over there brought it. And at first I was like, what is this? But it's a, I think it's a great opportunity for Minnesota to, and for some of our smaller ethnic groups that are, might not have a homeland. I mean, you can think there's all sorts of potential here, and to have them connect with Minnesota, and I think it's great. So anyways, thank you for your time.
All right, thank you, Representative Lilly. Next we have Representative Hussein, House File 2599 from Moorhead. And so we also have Fauza Addy from Immigrant Development Center. If you can make your way to the testimony table and to your bill, Representative Hussein.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members for giving us the opportunity to hear for House File 2599. Members, if you look at the bill, you will see this bill for construction of Moorhead Cultural Mall. However, based on the same feedback, the main organization behind this bill, the Immigrant Development Center, has decided to offer a smaller cultural mall without walls or proposal that will actually have more regional impact. This is why we're bringing this bill forward. And as you see that last year in capital investment, Chair Lilly and I, and we visited in Moorhead downtown, and it's a ghost town. It needs a lot of opportunity for cultural opportunity, and that's why that I brought this bill forward, to give opportunity for those people that underserved and in
greater Minnesota.
I have in the greater Minnesota. Not only we care about in our cities and in our state, but I really passionate about and care about the whole state of Minnesota, and that's why we brought this forward, greater Minnesota. This will create a jobs and opportunity for all of us in the state of Minnesota. So we need to make sure that we don't have an empty lot. We don't have to have empty buildings, but we want to make sure that we occupy it and create a jobs and opportunity for those people that really need it. And now I will go ahead and turn over to my testifier.
All right. Thank you. Introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Good morning. My name is Fauzia Addy, Madam Chair, and Representative McDonald. Thank you for having me today. I am coming from Moorhead, Minnesota. Moorhead is experiencing unprecedented growth as the fastest growing community outside of Twin City Metro, within 56 languages spoken in our schools and more than 10% of households speaking language other than English. Our community cultural richness is one of our greatest assets. However, currently we lack dedicated space to celebrate, to share and preserve diverse cultures and traditions that make Minnesota unique. The Moorhead Cultural Pop-Up will fill this critical gap by creating a vibrant hub cultural exchange, traditional art, and heritage preservation. This space will feature local artists, cultural performance, cooking demonstration and education programs that share community diverse tradition for future generation. We are only asking $500,000 for operational. For now, we are going to come back for the cultural mall. And we are also collaborating with the Indigenous Association, and we are collaborating with our Latino community. We are collaborating with other Moorheadians to make sure we all work together. So this cultural pop-up is, we work with the city of Moorhead. It's called Yamkam Sena. Every month what we do is we come together, we bring different culture, different vendors to really celebrate. Thank you. I would like to turn to our city councilor, Deb White. Welcome, Deb.
All right. I believe she is remote. So, Councilmember White, if you can hear us, if you could unmute and proceed with your testimony.
Yes, thank you. And I just want to make sure you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee for this opportunity to speak. As you heard, I'm Deb White. I'm a member of the Morehead City Council, but I'm also the vice president of the Historical and Cultural Society of Clay County. I've been working with IDC and other community partners to host monthly pop-up global markets in Morehead as part of our efforts to invigorate our downtown and build spaces that welcome and support everyone in our growing and increasingly diverse community. Even though we're just getting started and have limited resources, we've already had hundreds of people attend each of our first three monthly events. Vendors from our indigenous, Kurdish, Somali, Liberian, Latino, Pakistani, and other communities bring a wide range of foods and locally made arts and crafts. And each month we feature performers from a different community. These markets allow people to connect with their own and other cultures. People can access items from their culture, which are often more difficult to find in our area than they are in larger metropolitan areas. But they can also try new things from other cultures. I've watched young people learn about beadwork from indigenous artists and a little girl who was absolutely mesmerized when the musician that month let her hold and learn about the traditional flute that she'd been playing. These events foster economic inclusion among emerging entrepreneurs. As one example, one vendor is a young Somali henna artist who isn't ready for her own space yet and now has a place to build on her work. But these pop-up global markets are also so much more than that. They bring our community together to learn from each other, celebrate, and become closer. I appreciate your consideration and hope that you'll provide support so that this work by IDC can continue to grow and serve our region. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Councilmember White. Discussion from the committee. Representative Heitzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I am just curious. I was trying to look it up, Representative Hussein. Is Representative Keeler a co-author on the bill?
Representative Hussein.
She said she will.
She will. That's what she referred to.
Representative Heitzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to quickly check, and members, we typically try to make sure that we're in good shape with the folks whose districts are represented in the bills being heard, and I just wanted to confirm that there was a good, that the support was there for the bill. Representative, I say, just also wondering, is there a possibility of bonding? Is there also potentially a bonding request for this project, or is it solely here in the Legacy Committee?
Representative Hussein?
Yes, they'll be asking bonding for next year. This is just to kind of get going and create the cultural identity that they're trying to do it.
Representative Heitzman?
Nothing further. Thank you.
And to answer your question,
Vice Chair Hussein? Yep.
Representative Keeler? The community has spoken with them.
You would like to respond? Yeah.
We emailed her, and she said she will be co-authoring it because she have been swamped with a lot of bills, and that's why we seek for other.
All right. Well, we do need to move along. Representative Zhang, do you have a?
I'll just keep you very brief, Madam Chair, and Representative Heisman, I hear you on checking in with the district member. As a member, I see former representative Rena Moran, Commissioner Moran, who's here. I remember when a snow machine was being pushed in my district before my knowledge, before talking to me. So I appreciate what you said.
All right. Further discussion? Seeing none, closing remarks, Representative Hussein.
This will be a great opportunity for the greater Minnesota. And Chair McDonald and I had a conversation about this bill, and he says he's looking forward to supporting it in the past. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Fuzia, for being here today. She drove all the way from Moorhead, so
appreciate you for having us. Thank you.
All right, and Representative Hussein, remain on the testifying table. Next, we have us House File 1559. We have Nika Bowie, Council Member, From St. Paul, we have Daoud Mohammed and Tom Campion. If you can make your way to the testifying tables and to the bill, Representative Hussein.
And our council member is not here, but I'll have someone, Mercedes, to come forward, and Nick Mohammed.
Okay.
This bill is a community festival grant and investment in Minnesota cultural fervor. This will establish for community festival grant program to support festival cultural event across Minnesota, celebrating the rich diversity of our community. And I brought this bill forward is because a lot of my community, St. Paul, we have a lot of festival and lack of opportunity and lack of a grant. And that's why if you look at Ramsey County and St. Paul, we do not have a lot of taxpayers. We do have like more government buildings. We have more nonprofits. We do have more charts. So we're struggling to kind of continue for those cultural identity events. I grew up in the Rando community, and I've seen how important that is for celebrating Somali Week. It's another one. And the Hmong Festival, which is brought like $50 million for tax revenue. We need to support this kind of events that will bring revenue and bring people to our district. And now I would like to hand over my testifier, Mercedes, to
all right,
and doing a great job in the community.
Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
I'm Mercedes Yarbrough. I apologize for just walking up here. As a fourth generation Rondo descendant and a resident of the Rondo community, which continues to experience the effects of gentrification, it is crucial that we keep festivals honoring our history affordable and accessible to our community. Rondo Days is the largest Black festival in Minnesota, and last year's comeback was nothing short of amazing. The day was filled with love, joy, and a spirit of unity that everyone in attendance could feel. These are the kinds of memorable, positive moments that strengthen our city and bring people together. To continue preserving and celebrating the rich history of Rondo and other cultural communities, I ask that the city provide greater financial support for community festivals like Rondo Days. These events are not just gatherings. They are a living legacy of resilience, culture, and Black excellence, ensuring that these festivals remain sustainable and accessible and an investment in the city's cultural heritage and community well-being. Additionally, we seek funding support for community outreach safety programs that directly serve and uplift our neighborhoods, investing in programs that prioritize community-driven safety initiatives, foster stronger relationships, promotes public well-being, and ensures that resources are being reinvested where they are needed most. I appreciate your time and consideration in supporting Rondo Days and the broader efforts to strengthen and empower our community.
All right, thank you, Mercedes. And Dade Mohammed, would you like to testify? You have about a minute.
Nick Mohammed.
Oh, Nick Mohammed, okay.
Nick Mohammed.
Hello, Council. My name is Nick Mohammed. I am a board member of the Rondo Days Festival. We would like to encourage you all to continue the funding for this organization and this festival. It's heading into its 50th year soon. It's one of the legacy festivals in the city that not only brings to remembrance the plight of the Rondo community and its residents, but it also highlights a lot of the youth organizations and businesses that come out that support as well. So with last year's event, it was a huge success, and there's a lot of anticipation for this year, so we like to make sure that that is actually continued. We appreciate your support before and look forward to your support going forward.
All right. Thank you, Nick. And it's good to see you again. Discussion from the committee. Representative Shaw.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative. I want to ask if there's anyone else testifying.
We don't have any more time for testimony, so we'll just move on to discussion. Representative Xiong.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hussein, I really appreciate you finding a solution to a problem. I remember we were having a conversation a couple months ago with some folks from the Hmong community when the city fees went up and they were not able to pay it. And
Representative Xiong, can you turn on your mic?
It is on.
Oh, it is on. Okay.
Yeah. All right. And so I really appreciate you bring this bill forward to help offset some of the costs for these cultural heritage, and it's very important. So if I'm not a co-op, oh, I am a co-author bill. Okay. All right. Well, that's it then.
All right. Representative Cha.
Thank you, Chair, and thank to the testifier, Mohammed. You probably don't know this, but I grew up in the Rondo neighborhood, and Tiger Jack, my buddy, right down Dell. So thanks for being here. I see the need for this as I met with the St. Patrick's people, the Grand Old Days, and the Hmong Freedom Festival. And in terms of just give you a real short example is that the Freedom Festival costs about $650,000, and $96,000 of that is for just security alone. So I understand the need for this. Thank you.
All right. And co-chair,
I like your mustache.
thank you, Mercedes, but you have to go through the chair. co-chair McDonald.
Madam Chair, question for Representative Lilly. Representative Lilly, was this this particular bill that Representative Hussein has, is this kind of tied into your idea with your bill that it would go to a pool of money for heritage and cultural heritage and celebrations?
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Madam Chair and co-chair McDonald. Yeah, the one that I presented today is a totally different concept. It's so if people are visiting Minnesota, but the festival idea is something different, and you know, it's and what, yeah. So this is a different bill, a good, you know, good concept, certainly. And yeah, the law enforcement costs that they've mentioned are just gotten to be real on some festivals, indeed.
Yeah, Co-Chair McDonald.
That would help.
Okay. Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Chair Vang. Really quick. So the the way I'm reading this, the $1.25 million goes to the Board of Directors of the Minnesota Humanities Center, and then they dole the grants out to these various festivals. Is that correct?
Representative Hussein?
Yeah, that's correct.
Representative Scraba.
Thank you. That's all. Thank you.
All right. Seeing no further discussion, closing remarks, Representative Hussein.
I just want to thank for my colleagues and considering this bill. It looks like last 2 years ago we funded Rondo Day and some other festivals, Cinco de Mayo, and it is vibrant. I wish some of you could, you know, come and visit and see how community are gathering, and hundreds of peoples that came together for Rondo Day. Thanks, Nick Mohammed and Mercedes and the rest of them who organized for that. I've seen people that I haven't seen 25 years ago, people that I went to high school with, middle schools, seen some of my principals. Like, we're bringing people together and creating an opportunity to network and, you know, safety and youth crime prevention. Our youth is active. They need activities for summertime. Same as the Cinco de Mayo that I've seen hundreds and hundreds of people are coming out together for celebrating their cultural identity. The Hmong Festival is another one that brings, like, thousands. So those are festivals. Usually happen in Ramsey County, especially St. Paul. And St. Paul is a small city which do not have enough funding to fund all those organizations. We are asking the state to come forward and help for those people to celebrate their identity, their cultural. Thank you for having me here, and we can all support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Hussein. And with that, we have next is Representative Lee, House File 2379. And then on deck, we have Representative Cleavorn, House File 2970, and then we'll have Representative Sensimera, House File 2979. So to the bill, Representative Lee, and we have our testifier, Asata Florell. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee members, for the opportunity to present House File 2379. This bill is part of what Mixtape Strategies, a nonprofit group in my community, calls the Camden Town 44th Avenue Corridors Project. Aiming to turn Camden Town in my district into a destination without displacing the people who live there. It's an inclusive celebration of Black culture, human excellence, and the power of community at its best. Specifically, the funding will be used for the development of the alleyway that will become the cultural hub of Camden Town, with a space for live music and events, street art and murals, a place where young, diverse professionals can gather and celebrate. This is not just a building or housing or business, but a community engagement, collective storytelling, and cultural placemaking. And with that, I will turn it over to my testifier.
All right. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Asada Florell, and I'm a proud Minnesota transplant from Chicago's Hyde Park neighborhood. I currently live with my husband, Jared, and our dog in Camden Town Flats. I ask you, Madam Chair and members of the committee, to think back to the last time where you were questioning whether you belonged in your workplace, in your town, or in your community. That's where I was 2.5 years ago as I was questioning my future in Minneapolis, feeling disconnected from my home and the cultural and social scenes that I craved. That's when Jared introduced me to Houston White and his vision for Camden Town, an intergenerational community and art-centered space that would become the heart of my Minneapolis experience. If you haven't been to Camden Town, I urge you to visit. It's a vibrant hub where entrepreneurs, creatives, change makers, and professionals of all races, backgrounds, and lived experiences come together to be rejuvenated. It's a space where people are moved to create, connect, and think differently about how they are moving through life. This burgeoning neighborhood already offers so many opportunities for connection and fulfillment, from coffee chats at the Ghent Down to live music and vintage markets in the North Market parking lot, to tennis lessons and community cleanups at Weber Park, and quiet afternoons spent reading at the library or taking a walk up Victory Memorial Parkway. It is a place where visitors and residents can work, live, play, connect, and grow. The vibe is infectious, and given its popularity and authenticity, this haven on the corner of 44th and Humboldt is on the precipice of major growth. The opportunity to support Bill 2379 and allocate legacy funds to the Camden Town 44th Avenue Corridor Project is a chance to invest in something truly transformative for the Twin Cities and the state of Minnesota at large. As a recent McKinsey & Company report on the UK art sector highlights, a thriving art scene fosters strong communities, attracts investment, and boosts social connections. It's a chance to build the Apollo Theater of Harlem, the DuSable Museum of Hyde Park, and the Sweet Auburn Historic District of Atlanta all in one space. The project aims to address the systemic barriers faced by North Minneapolis residents and create a space that honors culture, history, and art without displacement. Investing in Camden Town isn't just an investment in a project. It's an investment in a community that's rewriting the narrative of North Minneapolis and its cultural heritage. It's building a legacy of Black excellence that is beneficial to all. Richard Florida, an American urban studies theorist, once said, "Where creativity goes, economic growth is sure to follow." Let's work together to ensure that the story of Camden Town is one that is told, celebrated, and fully realized so that we won't be left wondering what would have happened if Prince built Paisley Park over north. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Seeing no further testifiers, discussion. Seeing none, closing remarks, Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members, for the opportunity to present, and hopefully you'll have this in consideration as you put together your budget. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Next we have is Representative Cleghorn, House File 2970. Thank you for being here. And to your bill, Representative Cleghorn.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members. This has to do with the Capitol Mall out in front of our beautiful campus. And the request that I'm asking the committee to consider today for possible inclusion is to grant $750,000 appropriated to the arts and from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund to the Commissioner of Administration for improvements on the Capitol campus. What I'm asking specifically for is $400,000 of the appropriation is for trees on the upper mall and the northern portion of the lower mall bordering Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. You will see on line 1.12, I'm asking for $200,000 in appropriation to put benches on the upper mall and the northern portion of the lower mall as well, again, bordering Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. In addition, on line 1.14 of the bill, you will see an appropriation for $150,000, and this is for visual markers, welcoming information, and wayfinding to the major streets on the Capitol Mall campus. This is to help the individuals who come to the campus to either visit the historic site or to participate as the active public gathering space or a place for visiting on the Capitol Mall for individuals to be able to find their way who may not be familiar. Lastly, the provision in the bill on line 1.19 would allow monies left from either Section A, B, or C and D to be used for other portions of this particular appropriation if monies remain. So, for example, if the signage costs less, then maybe that could be used for trees, or if the trees cost less, that could be used for the visual markers. And we just ask that you please consider this as a way of improving the mall and making it more human for people who come. Anyone who has participated in a rally on the Capitol Mall knows how hot it can be. And also, as we have an aging population and families with younger children, it's nice for them to have a place to sit and rest and enjoy the mall as they are here for events, and which is why we would like the benches as well.
All right.
Happy to stand for any questions.
Okay. Seeing no other testifier, discussion from the committee. Representative Escraba.
Thank you, Chair Bang. Representative Cleaborn, how close are any of these improvements to the new building?
Representative Cleaborn.
Thank you very much. To the new building?
Yeah.
These are actually on the mall itself, and it is particularly important on the central corridor of the mall. It would not have anything to do with the state office building site at all.
Okay.
Representative Escraba.
Thank you, Chair. I'm done.
Any further discussion? Co-Chair McDonough.
Thank you, Chair Vang. Representative Cleaborn, a good concept to be sure. You know, we want to make sure it's inviting and we're doing our great work. Isn't there already a pool of money that is set aside for the improvement and upgrades of the Capitol, and or should this be more of a bonding project or maybe in tandem?
Yeah. Representative Cleaborn.
Thank you very much, Chair McDonald and members, for the question. I appreciate it. In 2023, we did pass a Capitol Mall design framework piece of legislation. The money in that bill expires on January 31, 2024. That is how that was done. The part of this work has been done. I should say the language of the bill allows it to expire, right? This is a belts and suspenders approach. Whether or not we would use legacy money or if we would ask for that particular provision to be extended, it is a belts and suspenders approach. Does that answer your question?
Co-Chair McDonough?
Representative Cleaborn, it does to a point, yeah, but I appreciate your comment that about belts and suspenders, but more so in bonding.
I don't think these can be bonded. I can ask. We don't believe that trees can be bonded.
Is there anyone from the public that has an answer to the question?
Madam Chair?
Co-Chair McDonough.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If we could ask a nonpartisan, Mr. Hagemeyer, to answer that.
Yeah, nonpartisan.
Madam Chair, Representative McDonald, I am not sure if the trees for this particular one could be bonded or not.
No.
I know there's been discussions, and I believe the representative mentioned a previous appropriation, and I don't know exactly. It hasn't been funded with the arts fund previously, so I'm not sure on this one.
Okay, Co-Chair McDonough?
In interest of time, that's is all.
I'm happy to answer any questions the committee would have, Madam Co-Chairs, and to make sure that we are all on the same page with this committee and with state government as well. We certainly appreciate your time, and thank you for allowing us to come and present this morning.
All right. Thank you, Representative Cleaborn. And with that, we will move on to the next bill. Representative Sensimera, House File 2979. And we also got a special visit from Little Yuna.
Thank you, Co-Chair Vang and Co-Chair McDonald, for hearing this bill. Happy to be here today to talk to you about HF 2979. As you may hear from my daughter next to me, the youth in our state have something to say, and HF 2979 is about uplifting youth voice and celebrating the connection between poetry and civic engagement. So HF 2979 would establish a Minnesota Youth Poet Laureate Program, and this would also bring us into the National Youth Poet Laureate Program. In Minnesota, a few years ago, the Minnesota Youth Poet Laureate Program was established, and this is a program where the governor appoints a poet laureate who then participates in civic engagement opportunities across our state, showcasing the power of poetry and celebrating the power of poetry in Minnesota. This would give youth in our state that same opportunity. In 2021, some of you may have seen the performance of Amanda Gorman at the inauguration. She was the first National Youth Poet Laureate, and through her amazing poetry at the inauguration, showcased the power of youth voice to move citizens in our country. This would do the same thing in Minnesota. The funding would go to the Humanities Center to then fund a nonprofit who would support with outreach to schools, community centers across the state to get the word out about this opportunity. There could then be events for youth to participate in writing poetry, and then through connection with this national organization, we would choose a Minnesota Youth Poet Laureate who could then be engaged in a year of celebrating their work, going throughout the state, showcasing their poetry and poetry of other youth throughout the state. So I do have a testifier, Michael Sorelli, who is from the National Youth Poet Laureate Organization, to explain a little bit more about the work that they have done with other states and how they would interact with our state if we joined this program. Lastly, I just do want to say that this request is scalable. Right now it's $100,000 per year, but I think it's very scalable depending on kind of the amount of outreach we want to do, the amount of events, but this would truly be trying to get the word out statewide about this opportunity for Minnesota poets, youth poets. Thank you.
All right, and I believe Michael Sorelli is via remote. If you can hear us, please unmute and proceed with your testimony.
Hello, Assembly members. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you so much for having me. You know, actually being here really represents one of the visions of this program, and it was really founded under the idea that we wanted to not only celebrate the top young poets in our local communities, who are committed to artistic excellence and civic engagement, but also put them in places where they're not traditionally heard. So the vision was places of governance, city hall, etc. So we founded the program in New York City in 2008, and in about 4 short years, we were invited to have our poet perform at the mayoral inauguration, which was sort of almost the completion of our vision. It was the Youth Poet Laureate, former President Bill Clinton and Harry Belafonte. And of course, the young poet stole the show and was the headline of all the newspapers around the world, from the New York Times to the Washington Post. Quickly, the program grew as one where our colleagues across the country wanted to have similar titles for their young poets. And it really took off from there. We've been invited to the White House 4 times since the program started. Of course, Amanda Gorman also elevated the program with her incredible performance at the inauguration. And really, this program not only celebrates these young, powerful poets, but they're all civically engaged. Our rubric really identifies young leaders and really the next leaders of their community. So being here, this would be the third state that has actually would actually legislate this into their you know, legislation. We also did it in California and Virginia. And it's just an incredible opportunity for these young poets to now join a movement of national winners from across the country. We have programs in 100 major cities and 10 states. So the idea now is that we're growing the program for statewide engagement, because right now the laureates in the program can only engage the program through their cities. So this is in most of the major cities. We have this in the Twin Cities, of course. But now poets from across Minnesota can take part in this opportunity. The winners get engaged by twice a month workshops led by the best poets in the country. And then they, of course, enter into the National Youth Poet Laureate competition. So it's an incredible movement. These young people will be there with you, hopefully, next year at this time, you know, entertaining you with some powerful and inspiring you to continue doing the great work that you all are doing. So again, it's an honor to be here, and thank you for Representative Spencer Mora to push this forward.
All right, thank you, Michael. Discussion from the committee, Representative Cha.
Thank you, Representative Samantha Spencer. I'm sorry. Can you tell me a little about Mr. David Muir, who is also a poet?
Yeah, so thank you, Representative Cha, for the question. Thank you. So my father is a local poet, David Mura, who's been involved with the poetry scene for a long time. And so that's how I came to know the power of poetry.
Representative Cha. All right, further discussion. Seeing none, closing remarks, Representative Spencer Mura.
Yeah, thank you so much, Legacy Committee, for taking the time to hear this request today. I believe that poetry is nonpartisan, and I know that on both sides of the aisle, we appreciate the brilliance of youth in our state. So I hope you will consider this for possible inclusion in your omnibus bill. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Next, we have Representative Hiltzley, House File 3019, and then you have the last bill was House File 2508. So we'll start with Osseo. Funding for Osseo from Carol Larson. So to the bill, Representative Hiltzley. And I just want to thank the public and the committee members for keeping the remarks concise. And it is definitely a feat to try to get through 13 bills today, so I appreciate everyone's cooperation. And to the bill, Representative Hiltzley.
Thank you so much, Chair Vang and Co-Chair McDonald. And yes, I would like to also appreciate everybody for making sure that they kept time so that I can reach my bills. So I appreciate that. With that, I am so honored to be the chief author of House File 3019. And it is a bill before the Legacy Committee that I urgently strong you to support this vital funding and request. Osseo is proudly approaching, has approached its 150th year anniversary, a significant milestone that underscores the endurance, legacy, and rich history of our community, and I am honored to be representing Osseo. This funding is not merely about preserving the past, it is a crucial investment in commemorating this sesquicentennial, I know that that's a very hard word to say, and ensuring that the stories of the past inform and inspire the future. By celebrating and safeguarding Osseo's historic landmarks, documents, and narratives, particularly as we mark this important 150th year celebration, we provide invaluable education opportunities for future generations to remember. They will learn about the foundations upon which their community was built, fostering a foundation sense of identity, continuity, and civic pride. This legacy funding is essential to ensure that Osseo's vibrant history, especially as we reflect on the last century and a half, remains a living testament of all who will call home in the years to come. Here today, I am honored to have a resident of Osseo. She has been instrumental in making sure that we preserve this history, and I believe she is the former mayor of Osseo. Carol, go ahead.
All right, thank you, Carol, for being here. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Hello, Chair Vang and Vice Chair McDonald and the esteemed members of the committee. I thank you very much for the opportunity to testify in support of House File 3019, and it's a bill seeking funding for the Osseo 150th celebration. Easier to say that. House File 3019 is supporting our efforts to commemorate the 150 years of the city of Osseo, honoring our founders and our builders, and celebrating the vibrant community that we are. We are really a vibrant community, and inspiring future generations. While Osseo was first settled in the 1850s, it was officially incorporated in 1875 by the Minnesota Legislature. So this year is really the significant milestone, and we've been working as a committee for the past 2 years to put this together, something all year long, every year, every month. We're proud to celebrate the journey from that modest little village. We're sandwiched between Maple Grove Town, where when it first when Minnesota was first around, Maple Grove Township and Brooklyn Township, and we're just sandwiched in between. We were there literally before that. The arrival of the Great Northern Railroad in 1882 provided a tremendous opportunity for commerce and growth, and it allowed local businesses to grow and succeed, particularly the potato farmers who then had a market in Chicago. Imagine sending potatoes to Chicago in those days. The lasting legacy continues to shape Osseo today. We take great pride in preserving and sharing our history, and 2 years ago, we started this committee where we immediately at the first meeting started collecting stories and records dating back to 1852 when the settlers arrived. So with support of this bill, we plan to publish a comprehensive 300-page history book of the 150 years of the city of Osseo. And it's a gift for the people who are there, for the people who had been there at the beginning and their descendants, and a gift to the future. In addition to the publication of this house file will enable us to also host community-centered programming that brings the history to life. Now, that planned events include performances by the Osseo High School Band, which, by the way, is celebrating their 100th year this year, and presentations by nationally recognized storytellers. Kevin Kling and James Hirsch are both from Osseo, and they weave together narratives, songs, music, specifically for Osseo. If any of you have ever heard them, they just zero in on a particular community in very meaningful, engaging ways for
the audience. Recording stopped. Recording in progress.
Please proceed.
Ignore it. House File 3019 is not just about commemorating history, but it's about preserving it and celebrating it now, but really as passing it on to the future. And I really thank you, Chair Vang and Vice Chair McDonald and members of the committee, just for the opportunity to support what we feel is this really important legislation.
Well, thank you, Ms. Carroll. I would just like to make a small correction. It's actually Co-Chair McDonald.
Oh.
But thank you for being here today.
Sorry about that.
Yes. And questions from the committee? Representative Cha.
Thank you for bringing this bill forward. The other day, me and Co-Chair McDonald talk about, you know, the Irish settlement, right, and, you know, the preservation of culture, how important that is. And as I'm going through this in 1852, it talks about the French Canadian, the Swiss, the German, the Native Americans, and the New Englanders that were in Osseo. And so often we talk about, you know, the current, you know, immigrant communities like mine, but I think that's also important to reflect and support other, you know, communities such as the one that I just mentioned. So thank you for bringing this bill forward. Thank you.
Co-Chair McDonald.
Well, as thank you, Chair Vang. As the old saying goes, e pluribus unum, from many come one. So thank you for this bill, sesquicentennial. I've learned to say it many times. I can say it five times real fast without flubbing up, but I'll spare the committee that. But Chair Vang, if you give me just an opportunity for 10 seconds to introduce a gentleman in this audience. He probably didn't want me to say anything, but he served here with my father, and they were very good friends from 1973 to 1992. Mr. Bill Schreiber, who's here to support this bill, is in the audience. I just want to say hello to him.
If you can stand up.
I was a little boy running around the halls in the Capitol when I last saw Bill, I think. So good to have you here. And thank you, Representative Momani Hilsley, for the bill. I don't know if I can support it, you know, sexcentennial. I have my own bill with the same amount. No, I'm just teasing. But thanks for bringing this forward. And Ms. Larson, thank you for your testimony. She used to work at the Delano Eagle. The Eagle in Delano, I guess hence Delano Eagle, but anyway, it was the largest newspaper in Delano and the oldest business in Delano for many years. So good to see you.
All right. Further discussion? Seeing none, closing remarks, Representative Hitzley.
Thank you so much, Chair Vang and Co-Chair McDonald, and also to all of the
testifiers who came here and in support of this bill. Again, as Carol mentioned, ASIO is very unique. When you step into ASIO, you feel like, you know, you are going back in time. It has preserved its traditions, and it has become also, as Carol mentioned, very diverse, not only economically, but also racially. And I'm excited and thrilled to be a part of the journey of ASIO and excited to, you know, take part in this celebration and making sure that we preserve the history of ASIO for not only this generation, but for future generations. Thank you, committee, for your support on this bill.
All right. And Representative Hisley, you can remain there. And thank you, Carol, for your time and your testimony.
Thank you, committee. Thank you all.
All right. Next we have is House File 2508 from ACER. If you can make your way to the testimony table, Nalima, Abraham, and Verrill. And you have the final bill. Representative Hisley, to the bill.
Thank you so much, Chair Vang and Co-Chair McDonald and the members of this committee. I will summarize today with this last bill, House File 2508. It is also a privilege to be sitting here to present this bill to this committee for consideration. It is a vital investment throughout the Legacy Committee to uplift the African heritage and empower our BIPOC communities. As somebody who has been a beneficiary of the organization ACER and have worked directly with ACER in the many years that we have, I can attest to their work in not only in the Northwest suburbs, but also in the state of Minnesota. So with that, this funding supports culturally rooted programming, community-driven initiatives, and strengthens identity, preserves history, and promotes equity. And what I love about ACER is that, you know, it is an organization that basically uplifts other small organizations that are not able to stand on their own. So in the House, we have AMWAG, we have Global Fatherhood Foundation, we have Minnesota African Women and Youth Resources, and other organizations that through ACER, you know, they have been able to support our communities, our various communities. For most of the people in this room who might not know, the Northwest suburbs are home to an estimated 45,000 African immigrants, and this investment affirms that their stories, contributions, and cultural heritage matters. And House File 2508 is a testament of what that looks like when we build strong communities together. And with that, I will turn it over to my testifiers for their input in this bill.
All right. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Sure. Thank you so much, Co-Chair Vang and Co-Chair McDonald. My name is Nalima Sitati Munene. I'm the Executive Director of ACER. ACER is the African Career Education and Resources, Inc., and we're an issue-based organization. Our mission is to close the inequity gaps. I will go as fast as I can to give my co-testifiers an opportunity. So the African immigrant community is the largest Black community in Minnesota. Africans have called Minnesota home since the late 1960s and early 70s. The 1980s saw a significant growth in the African immigrant community with a surge in the 1990s. Citing a report from the Minnesota Census Bureau, NPR reports that Black Minnesotans experienced the highest population growth, which was mostly attributed to Black immigrants. And according to the Minnesota Chambers of Commerce's latest February report, new Americans continue to fuel Minnesota's workforce and economy as the state's population ages and growth slows. 60% of our state's labor force and employment growth came from foreign-born workers, which helped to mitigate historic workforce shortages in the post-pandemic period. The Minnesota DEED report also states that since 2000, immigration has played a vital part in Minnesota's economic growth. When there is mutual knowledge and understanding of the new communities and the host communities, our state continues to thrive. So Minnesota's immigrant community tend to be overall newer compared to the rest of the immigrant population in the United States. And some of the barriers to growth that immigrants face are assimilating to a new culture, learning a new language, and building their social capital. So the bill is a request for $500,000 over 2 years for ACER, and we're going to be partnering with three other organizations.
The Inner Circle is an organization that serves African youth, and it is led by professional volunteers who have been volunteering their time mentoring new African youth. The African Youth Resource Center is an organization that is working to support African youth to be mentally healthy and to contribute to their community. Over the past 2 years, we have seen a significant increase in suicide among African immigrant youth. The Voices magazine is a publication that promotes African entrepreneurship, news, and events, and serves as a cultural messenger of the African community to Minnesota. We will use the funds to host public education classes, events and forum, host community outreach and engagement activities, host cultural events and classes that will teach the public about the historical, cultural, and folk arts heritage of the Africans in Minnesotans. The funds will provide the much-needed support to learn and navigate their new environment and to contribute their valuable knowledge, skills, and assets. And we are asking for support from the committee. I will end there so I can give my fellow testifiers an opportunity to testify.
All right. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Nalema. Good morning, members of the committee and Co-Chair Yang and Co-Chair McDonald. I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning to partner with ESSA on this important bill. My name is Abraham Kamara. I'm the president of Inner Circle. It's a nonprofit based in Minnesota that serves immigrant youth and families. That's culturally grounded programming, mentorship, education, and workforce empowerment. I'm a proud voice of this community. I've been here for over 25 years. And again, I'm here to support ESSA. ESSA is kind of doing good work. Inner Circle, as I said, we provide mentorship for our youth in the northwest suburbs, and we intend to expand all over Minnesota. So I'm encouraging the members of this committee to please support ESSA and Inner Circle for this important bill. Thank you.
All right, and then we have one more testifier. If you can identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Yes, my name is Veronica Rotich. I'm the Executive Director of African Women Youth and Resource Center. We work generally with the African youth to make sure that they are mentally well and physically. We are supporting ESSA in this bill because we will be working with the African children and youth just to give them their heritage so that they're not forgetting where they're coming from, giving them lessons on their culture, on their language, and opening it up to any other youth or children from different kind of, from all, you know, all over that want to come and learn about our language and culture. We will be having them come. We will also engage the African youth to give them a space where they can have the different cultures they can learn, you know, where, you know, what the culture is in Kenya, because Africa in itself is a big continent with rich culture. We don't want them to lose that. So we have the youth from Kenya learning what the Nigerian youth have and what the Liberian youth can teach, so they can teach each other of their own cultures that they have, and we're not losing that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your testimony. Discussion from the committee. Vice Chair Hussein.
Thank you for bringing this bill forward. I have a question to ask, and how can we ensure organizations like this to have the resource to continue empowering African and BIPOC community Minnesota to education, civil engagement, and economic opportunity?
Representative Hitzley.
Thank you so much, Representative Hussein. That's why I'm here, to make sure that this committee and the state invests in organizations like ACER, who, as you have witnessed, brings together a collective of small organizations who are not able to stand on their own. And so it comes down to making sure that they do have funding, because like Veronica said, you know, they're not just addressing one specific demographic. It is a big community that we are trying to address, and so funding is the key piece in making sure that we continue this work.
Thank you very much. That's why I asked this question. Money of our nonprofits and organizations are underfunding, and they are not capacity to engage our youth and our elders and cultural. That's why House File 2508, it is a virtual investment. The organization like this to work, empower African and BIPOC community through education, civil engagement, cultural preservation, this fund would help thousands of Minnesotans to access opportunity to build a leadership and strengthen our community tie. So that's why I want to thank you for bringing this bill forward. And one of the testifiers said Africa is huge. When growing up in America, many of us, we think Africa is like kind of one of the states. But Africa is bigger than the state of Minnesota, and it's bigger than the country of USA. It is huge, and thousands languages and cultural and identity. It's good that to hear that you're doing cross-cultural exchange and learning, and I would like to be there. Part of it because I need to learn some of the cultures as well. Thanks for bringing this bill forward.
All right. Further discussion? Seeing none, closing remarks, Representative Hitzley.
Thank you so much, Chair Vang and Co-Chair McDonald, for this opportunity. Once again, you know, I respectfully urge the Legacy Committee and its members to support House File 2508. As a immigrant in this country, and being the first Kenyan-born legislator in the whole entire U.S., it is an honor to be standing here championing bills like this that really speak to the fabric of this country and what the immigrant community has contributed to this country, not only economically, but also socially. And so this bill is a powerful step toward honoring the African heritage in this country, and then also, as well as the BIPOC community, investing in the BIPOC communities and ensuring that all Minnesotans see themselves reflected in our shared story. Let us move forward together, rooted in equity, history, and hope that we are in this together. And with your support, I urge you to support House File 2508. Thank you once again to this committee for the opportunity to present this bill.
All right, thank you. And with that, members, that is all the business we have for today. Our next committee hearing is next Wednesday, in which Co-Chair McDonald will have the gavel. And I believe you have some additional remarks too, Co-Chair McDonald.
Madam Chair, in the interest of time, no, I don't at this point.
Okay. All right. And with that, thank you so much, members. This committee is adjourned.